November is Native American Heritage Month, and Indiana University's observance kicks off the first weekend in November with the fourth annual traditional powwow at the Indiana Memorial Union. The event, which has attracted hundreds of visitors in past years, boasts a lineup of nationally known dancers and singers, along with traditional foods, crafts, and regalia. WFIU's Yael Cassander explored the meaning of the powwow with the event's organizers.
Terry Miles is a graduate student in criminal justice at IU.
I just remember being on a bus on the way to Oklahoma one time when I was probably like 15, 14, and this little girl was sitting next to me, and we're just playing Defender, you know, together. And she's only probably about six, and we're just chit-chatting back and forth, and she's playing my game, and I'm playing it, you know, and we're making good friends. And she turns to me, and she's a little blonde girl, and she goes, "What are you?" And I laughed, and I said, "Well, I'm Native American." I said, "I'm, you know, Creek and Sac and Fox." And she goes, "What?" And I said, "I'm Indian." And she goes, "No, you're not." And I said, "Yes, I am." Now we're having this fight, you know, this 14-year-old kid and this, you know, 6-year-old kid back and forth. And then finally she goes, "You can't be Indian." And I said, "Why not?" And she goes, "Because they're all dead."
It's an assumption that Terry Miles, along with her colleagues in the Native American Graduate Student Association, are hoping to dispel through IU's fourth annual traditional powwow.
I think it can be seen as a terribly important enactment of culture.
Nikki Bell is a graduate student in anthropology.
Powwows in general are this intertribal, pan-Indian event where a lot of people from all different tribal nations come together and sing and dance.
It's family. It's friends. I go to these powwows so I can go see my family and friends. You know, I got people who live in Oklahoma, people who live in Iowa, you know, people who live in Illinois. And, you know, we can get together at these different powwows and camp out, eat together, dance together, gossip, talk, just whatever, you know.
When I was young, in my 20s, I used to dance the women's jingle dress.
Davina Two Bears is also in the graduate anthropology program.
And I just love the jingle dress. It makes such a beautiful sound when they're dancing. It sounds like rain.
1887, I believe, was the first dance that was called a powwow.
The word was an old one, but the ritual that took shape at that time was born of a harsh new reality.
The reservation period, late 1800s, when a lot of people were being pushed from their traditional homelands and weren't allowed to hunt and battle and do war in the ways that they traditionally had. And different tribes and different people were coming together in solidarity. People who had been against each other before were now coming together and starting to share ideas and aspects of culture.
For the next 50 years, however, that sharing of ideas and culture was highly regulated.
From 1887 to 1934, American Indian dance and musical and ceremonial performance was outlawed.
There was an exception, however.
Wild West shows became really popular, and American Indian people were allowed to dance as long as they were dancing on 4th of July and on Flag Day and on Veterans Day.
The Indian Reorganization Act of 1934 removed the ban on Native American performance. In the meantime, the modern powwow has been gaining traction.
You could go to a powwow every weekend all year long. Winter powwows that are held inside. I mean, you could just travel the country.
There's a lot. I went and I spent the summer up in Canada and traveled with this family for a couple months, and it was great. It was some serious powwowing up there. You'd go to a Tuesday powwow, you'd go to a Wednesday powwow, a Thursday, Friday, and then a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Then you would rest on Monday and do it all again.
Granted, the powwow circuit is more robust in Canada and out west. But IU, Nikki Bell explains, is exceptional among institutions east of the Mississippi.
Other universities that have a strong Native Studies program or a strong cultural program also have large Native populations as well as federally recognized tribes and federally supported programs or statewide supported programs, where Indiana definitely does not have that large amount like places out west do.
Indiana's demographic reality is something Davina Two Bears lives daily. A Navajo from Arizona, Davina brought her own children to Indiana when she came to grad school.
My kids are the only Native students in Bloomington High School South, and there's over 1,000 kids there. it was really hard for them to transition from Arizona, where, you know, the Native American population in their school was like 30-40%.
The First Nations Educational and Cultural Center, which is co-presenting the powwow, helped ease Davina and her family's transition.
It was very, very important for me to find a Native community here in Bloomington.
Davina's children will be dancing at the fourth annual powwow, as will many national acts, including the Battle River Singers from Minnesota, the Wisconsin Dells, and Ho-Chunk Station, a youth ensemble.
It's great to see those young kids who are so involved and so knowledgeable in how they dance and how they sing.
That history needs to be researched and given back to the people, the children especially.
For WFIU Arts, I'm Yael Cassander.
IU's fourth annual traditional powwow takes place Saturday and Sunday, November 1st and 2nd, in Alumni Hall at the Indiana Memorial Union in Bloomington.